From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December 6th, 2011. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
We've all been in a situation where our expertise in or familiarity with GIS turns us into a mini lecturer on the topic. You might be chatting with a fellow passenger on a plane or be giving a lightning talk, a quick 5-minute presentation on the topic. What three ideas should you share? All right, now this is one of those really hard things where you have all these millions of ideas in your head and you've got to figure out which three are the most important to convey. And that's always a valuable exercise to go through. So I thought, let's tackle the topic that is nearest and dearest to our hearts, geographic information systems, and try to nail down those three things. And I'll tell you what, I will start with the first idea that I would convey, which is simply this. GIS is sort of an equation. You take some geographic data, you add to it a question that you ask via software, and after the equal sign, the output, if you like, is an answer. And that answer might be in the form of a map or in a table or a list, but it's an answer. Or it might be several answers. And the reason I want to sort of put it that way is that each of those three things has bearing on how valuable the answer is, how the answer is used, how you ask the question, and this idea that, in a sense, there's an infinite number of different kinds of data you might start with, an infinite number of questions you might ask, and, therefore, a whole bunch of different answers. I think it really gets this idea that it's part science, part art.
That's a really good way to summarize it, because in the early days when I first learned GIS, I was taught that, and I was mainly doing remote sensing and remote sensing analysis, that layer upon layer upon layer of information can be conveyed almost in an additive fashion. You analyzed a particular layer, you assigned a value to that information, a value of importance, and then you almost summarized the results and see where it landed geographically. Today, many people might refer to this as map algebra, and that's probably the deeper way of looking into what GIS can be, and looking at the summation of its parts. And I think that what you described is exactly the way I came across GIS and how to relay the importance of GIS to people who had to make some decisions. This area is more important than that area, and it all falls together based on the summation of various pieces of information, whatever that may be, soils, geology, tree types, whatever that is. So I think you summarized it particularly well.
Okay, what point would you start off with if you were giving this little mini lecture?
Well, it's an interesting exercise because more often recently I've been asked to give these presentations to GIS professionals. And we have certain buzzwords in our vocabulary these days, cloud computing, location-based this or that. I wanted to focus on cloud computing and relate it to something a little different than what we want to think of in cloud. We're looking for GIS in the cloud, and I prefer not to necessarily think of bringing down all of the different applications and functionality from a desktop unit to a cloud unit. And I wanted to rephrase the challenge to people such that they look at it from almost an expense proposition. Is this something your company wants to buy or rent? And we've typically thought of buying GIS software, and we buy it for the desktop, we buy it for a server, whatever. The cloud introduces a new model, and I have to quote something from an article I wrote, and I'm actually quoting a Microsoft executive, and he said, cloud flips CapEx into an operational expense, or OpEx, meaning the enterprise only uses the resources that it needs when it needs them. I think that's a very cogent way of explaining cloud computing. You only use the resources you need when you need them. And that can apply to a variety of different applications, but in GIS, we haven't probably quite got there yet of how we deal with GIS in the cloud. And I think that people need to start thinking of GIS in this way, because it's rapidly changing the way we deal with buying and renting and both software and data.
That's actually a really interesting point. And if you sort of layer that upon my little equation, what it suggests is that if you're going to do that renting, you've got to make sure that what it is you're renting has both that geodata and the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask and can give you those answers in the form that is meaningful to you.
Right, right.
So it sort of moves away from the idea that you must have all of that geodata and all of that fancy software to ask the question, but that must be out there and accessible on the cloud. And that really is very different than the conversation we might have had 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. This is moving so rapidly that it's moving by people right now. We're not quite grasping all of the challenges that the cloud is bringing. We're just running to it and not realizing that there are steps in between that you ought to evaluate.
Right. Now, the second point that I would make is a direct follow-on to the first. And that's the idea that the quality of the answers, the quality of the output, depends both on how good the data are and how good the question is.
Right.
And that sounds, to those of us in this space, of course. But when you start interacting with folks who are new to the whole idea of geographic information or geographic query, this idea, because they don't really understand where the data comes from and how the data can, in fact, have errors in it, they just don't get it. So this idea that if, for example, the street network that you're using in your GPS has a street marked one way the wrong way, that is even possible, just can blow your mind. So you've got to sort of entertain the idea that your data, first of all, your data is not perfect. And the question is, is it good enough or is it really bad? And that's going to have an impact on the outcome. By the same token, the question that you ask matters. So what if you ask the wrong question? What if you want to get from your house to the bank, but instead you put in the question that says you want to go from your house to the Chinese restaurant? Well, you're going to get the wrong answer, right? And these are really subtle ideas, but they really have to be embedded in your understanding of GIS to really grasp what's possible.
It brings up the topic, and I think we've discussed this before, about thinking spatially. The construction of a query, a spatial query, is a little bit different if you're not necessarily thinking about location. I do want to go back to your issue about the quality of data, but on the issue of constructing the right question, This is an area where people are constantly asking, well, how do I teach somebody how to think spatially? How do I get them to ask the right question if they're not necessarily thinking in that dimension? So that's an issue. The issue of quality of data is something that I think has become hugely important recently. I think in the beginning, we often assumed that the data was good, and we never really got into the aspect of metadata and where the data came from. Is there the right data hygiene? Has it been cleansed? Has it gone through an ETL process, an extract, transform, and load correctly? Does it come out the right way? Is the projection the right way after it's been converted from something else? Oh, all of those things are big issues that we've dealt with them in the past. I just think they're really important now, especially that we're dealing with many, many more data and having more data available to us. So the next one I wanted to bring up is we sometimes look at these new elements of cool technology that have come through to GIS that want to combine location-based something with some of our mobile technology. And I wanted to talk a little bit about augmented reality, and I've talked about this in the past in various articles. I look at augmented reality as X-ray vision for the masses, a window on the unseen world, if you will. I have a problem with the way AR is being presented and implemented, correct. and I think it's been trivialized to some degree. I think AR can be a tremendous application for asset tracking, inventory management, field data capture. I think we're going to see all of these types of things being used in GIS, but I'm not sure we're there. But what I wanted to say was that I think that we got to think smart about some of these great technologies that are very consumerized right now, but have real applications in the GIS space.
That's interesting, because to me, augmented reality is really just another user interface or another presentation of the answer, to use my sort of equation there. And I think you're exactly right that we haven't figured out how to really have that interface be valuable, be safe, be better than what we've got right now.
Well, and I think of an application, I go back to my time in geology, that if I had a map of the geology of a certain region where I was doing field work, and I could superimpose a geologic map visually on the landscape, and yeah, in a sense, it gives me the answer, right? As geologists, we're supposed to figure out what the formations are. You tap on a rock, you analyze it, and you know what the formation is, and you can identify. If I'm beyond that stage, if I'm beyond the mapping stage, and I'm an exploration geologist, and I really want to know just the geology of the area, boy, augmented reality would really be a cool app for that. I just think we haven't gotten there yet. Maybe somebody has. It seems like it would be pretty easy to put a geologic map in an augmented reality viewer.
Well, I'm going to challenge you. You said it would be really cool. I can't disagree with that. Would it be better? Would you get to a better answer? Would you have a better outcome using that kind of an interface to the data than a paper map or a map on your iPhone?
Well, I think some of the ancillary data associated with geology would be very valuable. The rock type, the rock composition, the chemical properties of an individual rock layers, not just the map itself, but a lot of the ancillary data that we would want associated with that. And that's where I think the value comes in.
But that's also available from an interactive map on your phone.
Oh, I know, but like you said, it's another interface method, and I think that given the tablet computing capabilities that we're getting into, I think bringing a tablet into the field with an AR app for geology, it would be quite valuable.
Okay, the third point that I would want to share after my equation and my observation that the quality of the answer depends on the quality of the data and the quality of the question is to point out that the most important thing in the use of GIS is what we do with the answer or answers by evaluating it with the computer between our ears. That is to say, once we get the answer, what do we as humans do with it? How do we interpret it? Do we make a decision based on it? Do we decide it's a lousy answer? Do we go back and check the data, check the question? That's really the most important thing, because that's where we're either going to head down a path to success or a path to lesser success.
Right.
And I fear that as we work with GIS more and it tends more to science, we have this sense that it gives you the best answer, or it gives you the right answer, or it gives you a correct answer. The more I hear about people driving their cars into trees because the GPS said so, or deciding that this Chinese restaurant is the one to go to because it's the closest, even though maybe it's not because you asked the wrong question, the more I want to put more responsibility into the person interpreting the outcome of the query than to the software and data itself. And it's a lot like when we learned how to do math, and they tell you to estimate how much you're going to have to pay for the groceries at the grocery store. And if it came out, way off, you knew something was up. Well, we need to have that same kind of skepticism as we evaluate the output of our geographic queries that we get from our GIS.
I think that's a good point. When you started that conversation, what it led me to think about was the modeling capabilities that some of the GIS software allows us to do right now, and to place different emphasis on different parts of our assumptions within a model, run the model, see what the answer is. If the answer is something that we didn't expect, we go back and look at the model parameters, change them, and hope that at the very end something more to our liking comes out. But when you said that, it made me think that we have to be more in tune with the individual model criteria, the data, and what we expect to come out at the end. And I think that that's a valuable exercise for people to do both manually and to see what happens when you put a GIS to work on that.
And actually, I think another way to say what you just said is that, in a sense, you're iterating that software question. You're saying, yeah, well, that wasn't exactly the right question that I wanted to ask. Let me tweak it a little and see how that goes.
That's exactly right, yeah. It is this iterative process that we need to go through to make sure that we're questioning ourselves and the outputs that we get. The last thing I want to talk about is, again, an application-oriented item, and that is location-based advertising. And I've often said that we haven't quite got to the holy grail of marketing. But one of the things that I would try to put this cogently if I was asked to give a presentation on the topic is that, to me, location-based advertising is the value chain where location-based social networking meets retail inventory management. And you have to kind of let that sit in a bit. But for me, the applications that we're trying to use location for in the advertising space have a lot to do with social interaction and all the things that come with social networking, the meetup of friends, the location-based applications of where you are, the navigation thereof, and marrying that to what we want to see in our buying and purchasing habits, which tie directly into the retail merchandising aspects of it. So you're guiding me to the location of the store, you're guiding me inside the store, you're popping up what maybe a friend said about the particular merchandise item I wanted to buy, and maybe perhaps you'll get a coupon at the end. All of these things, to some degree, rest on location, but not entirely thereof on location. And I think that that's where we're somewhat heading. And I was asked, like I said a couple of weeks ago, well, whether I thought that the store keeping units, the SKU units, would be married to a location-based app. And I absolutely think they will. So I think that we're going to get to that, in particular as we come upon this holiday season of buying and want to be expediting our purchasing. I think that this is one of those things where you need to marry that location-based social networking thing to all of the things that we love about retailing.
And as you were describing this, I was thinking about how that overlays that little equation that I started with. And in fact, what you're suggesting, I think, is that this new model of location-based advertising, if we look to plug in the geo data, it's what the store has, where the store is, where the products might be in the store. And then there's some more geodata. There's geodata about you, where you live, where you travel, who your friends are, what you like, what you don't like. Some of those things are geographic, some are not. And then we take that ball of data, and the question is, how can we take what we know about the products and what we know about Joe and cause him to go buy something? So exactly what that question looks like is a really interesting problem.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think that I say the geospatial community, haven't quite figured that out. I don't think the social networking folks have figured it out. Maybe they're getting close. I think the retailers will figure this out because that's where the buck meets the road, right? That they want to figure this out for getting more customers into their stores. I don't rest my hat on the guys in the Bay Area who are developing all these cute location-based services app. I think it's going to be the big retailers that are going to come up with the answer.
Right, and the answer for them is going to be what information do we send to Joe to cause him to go buy something that we know he really wants? And yeah, then track that, in fact, we were successful in doing that.
Yeah, they're going to be the gatekeepers on this, just as I believe that the larger cellular companies are the gatekeepers to many of the things that we do every day, as in particular if we're a mobile consumer, a mobile worker.
Well, I think that we've got two very interesting lists. One that sort of lays out the basics of maybe how to think about geographic information systems, and then your points about how we're working with it in today's situation. How do we work with the cloud? How do we work with location-based advertising? What kind of interface do we use to take advantage of the answers to our questions? So hopefully those will help people have some of those quick little answers that you might need as you're asked by colleagues and friends and family what's sort of going on in your industry right now. That's all the time we have. Before we go, our sponsor ESRI would like you to know that the ESRI City Engine is a standalone software product for 3D modeling and design. It provides professionals in urban planning, defense, simulation, and entertainment a way to create high-quality 3D content from existing 2D data. For more information and to download a free 30-day trial, visit esri.com/cityengine. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted, or you can tweet us at Directions Mag.
And from us at Directions Magazine, we wanted to remind you that we have an open call for presentations to our 2012 Location Intelligence Conference that we held next May 22nd, 23rd in conjunction with the Oracle Spatial Users Conference. More information can be found at www.locationintelligence.net. And a big thanks to all of our readers, over 2,100 of you, who responded to our 2011 reader survey. We'll have details on who won our three Amazon Kindle Fires coming up soon.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.